Hello, Nick. How are you doing?
Very good, Martin. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Long time no see.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
It's been four weeks.
Strange. Yeah.
Feels like we're starting again.
Yeah, it does. That's
maybe
weird.
We should do.
Yes. No, it's been a bit weird, though, hasn't it? Because we had half term and so on, and you've been away. So I guess that's what happens.
So what do you think about the two-week schedule, though?
I think it works better.
You reckon?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, isn't it? Because it's been so long, because it was a two-week schedule we decided to change to, and then it was half term and all the rest of it. And so, yeah. So, but no, it's good to be back.
Awesome.
So have you got loads done then in the last 4 weeks?
Well, I was away on holiday for a week, wasn't I?
Yeah.
And then since getting back, I guess been reasonably busy, yeah.
That's good.
How about you?
Yeah, same sort of thing, really. I've been... I took most of that week off as well, the half-term week. I just did a bit of work, which was mainly support work. And the good news is I've finished the two freelance projects. So they're now live and that's all hunky-dory, just a bit of support every now and again.
Yep.
So I've had some free time. So that's
awesome.
Good.
So you've made loads of progress on what do we term it?
This, I've just been calling it the out-of-school club software that I'm working
on. But I mean in general, like in terms of project... Next.
Oh, I see, yeah.
We don't really have a name for it, do we, I guess?
No, not really. But it's, I've made progress, yeah. I've been I've hired a developer, which is a big step. So I've been doing a bit of sort of sales safari, going back to the course from Amy Hoy, and not as much as I should have done, really, but that's highlighted a few different things, and... So I decided that, I think we spoke about it last time, that I didn't really want to get too involved in the code so much, so I could spend more time doing other stuff, especially if more work comes up on the freelancing side in the future, then I'll just get frustrated. So I decided to hire a Laravel developer.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've done that, and he's been working away, which has been going okay.
So you're fully committed to the project now?
Yes.
Right.
Well... The thing I found from the sales safari is that there's a lot of there are a lot of things out there related that people are talking about and pains and things. They're not necessarily fixed by the software, but some of them have been asking straight out questions. You know, which software should I use for managing my club? You know, and that sort of thing. So, and there are competitors. So I'm fairly convinced that there's a market. I've got three people that are interested already, and two of those have been chasing me for it. So that's kind of good. So what I decided to do was do sort of the MVP approach. So I've sketched out everything that I want to do, and then narrowed it down to the minimum that I could deliver that would be useful for somebody. And that involves some of the work being done manually by me, but it's minimal sort of thing. So, and then I decided to get a developer working on that, and that's where we are now, really.
How did you find a developer?
Well, I've got a bit of a long-winded process around that, which I could go into. I used Upwork, which is what used to be called Odesk. Now, I've used them before quite a lot, and mainly for small projects where I'd hire a developer at fixed price. And what I'd usually do with that is I'd just put a job out there, you know, write the job post, secret word in there and everything, and just put it out there for people to apply to, and then filter through those people and then interview them by email usually, and then go that way. And that's worked reasonably well. I've not had any disasters. I've had a couple that hadn't gone... The finished product wasn't exactly what I was after, and so I had to start it up myself. And there was one guy that I actually went on to hire and used him for quite a lot of work. So it's kind of been up and down on that. So this time I did a bit more research, and there's loads of stuff on like the Micropreneur Academy and the Founders Cafe as it is now. And I found an article by the Late Night Bootstrapped Show where the guy Sam went through his the way he does it. And so I kind of... mix that together, because there's various different opinions of whether you should go for fixed price or per hour. And what I wanted to do was do a test project up front. So, yeah, I kind of sat down and wrote out my requirements, which took quite a while, I think, because you want it to be as precise as possible. And from that, I then posted the job, fixed price, because it was a test, small piece of work, and I thought it was a reasonable price for the kind of work. And then I invited people to join, to apply to the job. So I started to search for people that had all the skills that I required and high ratings and all that.
Yeah.
And that was pretty tricky, actually, because there aren't that many. You know?
Right.
I mean, I wasn't particularly, I mean, the skills were Laravel and AngularJS, because I wanted to use that for like a single page application for the admin part of the site. And there were very few that came up that had the right number of ratings. So in the end, I had about 11 that I invited. And of those, only about, I had a lot of rejections because, well, I don't know why, they didn't actually give reasons, but it was either they were already fully booked up or perhaps the price wasn't good enough. And I had three that accepted the invitation. And I said that I wanted to interview them by Skype. And one of them, his email to me accepting the invitation was all in lowercase, you know, right, really dodgy punctuation. And I was like, I hate that. I really dislike that very much. So I thought, I don't think you're going to make it, but I'll do the Skype interview anyway. And I did. And it was clear that his communication wasn't going to be good enough for me anyway. So I decided not to use him. The second one, much better. He actually came back with a counter offer to my fixed price offer, which I thought was quite good. Mm. You know, he's actually thought about it. And then, but he did say that he, although he's good at communicating in English, in emails and so on, he wasn't confident to speak face to face on Skype. And I was thinking, I kind of put me off, but in the end, I went with him because we had an email conversation backwards and forwards, negotiated the price a bit, and he was really, really good communication wise. So yeah, I went with him. And the other guy took too long to get back to me once. It replied, and then I said, right, when can we Skype? And it was 2 days later when he replied, oh, I'm free today. You know, it's like, well, it's gone. But the thing that not shocked me, but took me by surprise a little bit, was how long the whole thing takes. You know, so it was probably 2.5 days from starting to write the job spec, getting it on Upwork, which is not, didn't take long at all, that bit. But then, you know, getting to the point of actually hiring somebody.
That's not very long. I wouldn't say that's long at all.
Wouldn't you? I mean, I was surprised.
If you're physically hiring someone, it's a weeks, months process, isn't it?
But I don't know. I just felt that I would get all these people wanting to do the work, go through
Well, I guess you've gone
very quickly.
I'm probably going to insult some people by calling Laravel a niche framework, but you've gone with a relatively...
Yeah, I guess.
Not unpopular, because, you know, it is popular, but compared to like ASP.NET MVC or...
Yeah.
Or if just I just said PHP, or just general PHP,
if I just said PHP, there would be a lot more people. Yeah, so I guess that's where it was. I should have known.
And AngularJS as well. There's lots of different JavaScript frameworks.
There are. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Again.
Yeah, maybe that's true. Actually, yeah. So well, anyway, so it was like 2.5 days, and so it was the Friday when we agreed, and he started work on the Monday. And I did make a mistake actually, because I didn't put a deadline on the work. I didn't say I want it done by then, or I didn't put any emphasis on the fact that I wanted it done quickly or whatever. And so, although the work he did was really good, it took a long time. It took two weeks, pretty much, from setting up that job until getting it done. So I was in two minds at the end of the project, thinking, well, his work's good, but that's just too long. Because it wasn't a particularly complicated bit of work that I was asking him to do. So I basically sent him an email and said, look, in terms of going forward, I have got a lot more work that I want to be done, but here are my concerns about what you've done so far. And we agreed that we'd do, long story short, is we agreed that we'd do a pay-per-hour contract. And he would work at least 5 hours a day for me. And he'd reject any other jobs that are coming in, because he's got a couple of long-term things that take an hour or two a day sort of thing. So we had quite a good agreement around that. And also, we agreed that if I feel it's not going as well as expected, we'll stop, talk about it, and if we can't work it out, just go our separate ways. So it's pretty good. And so that started basically on Monday, and so far, touch wood, it's looking
cool,
looking pretty good.
Okay. So have you got any public deadlines you want to commit yourself to?
No, I haven't.
Oh, come on.
Well, I think, although it's going to be an MVP, I think I'm going to try and get the two people that are really interested to start using it first. So I don't really want to push something out there.
Well, there's even a deadline. Have you set yourself a deadline for doing that?
I haven't. I'm hoping it will be next week,
okay,
but it kind of depends on this developer. If he doesn't pan out and doesn't do it as quickly as I'm hoping he will, then you know that could get blown out of the water. So tentatively, I'll say I want to be able to get the first sort of MVP done by the end of next week. So by the next podcast, definitely. But I'm a bit nervous about that because it's early days with the developer. Yep. So. Yes. Mm.
So are you going to spend some time learning Laravel, or is it... away from that, so that you hire developers to do it.
I've been having a look at it, and it seems pretty straightforward. So there are some quirks and things that obviously you always have to get used to. So I'm gonna try and keep out of the code, but I need to be able to understand it so that if I have to pick it up or fix bugs or whatever later on, then you know I can do that. So, but I'm from what I've seen of it so far, I think that shouldn't be too much of a problem.
Yeah, very good.
Yes, it's all good. So I'm pleased with the progress.
So in terms of the 30x500 stuff,
yeah,
I guess this is the outcome of that course for you? Yeah. Or are you still looking at that in terms of an info stroke education?
No, well, I was going to run two side by side and try and do the proper course, because they say pick an audience you're part of and all that, and this totally isn't, you know. But I decided that, you know, I find it difficult enough to focus at the best of times. I need to not have something else that's going to distract me. So I'm just going to focus on this for now.
Yep.
And try and get something done. Although I'm getting to the point where I'm worried that there isn't that much of an online market, if you like. People aren't online looking for it.
Yeah.
Rather, it's more going to be more of a face-to-face type
yeah.
thing. So I'm thinking there might be other ways of marketing it, like lumpy mail, you know, as they say, send something in the post.
But most of the clubs not have their own website?
No, a lot of them don't.
No.
Which is another opportunity, thinking about doing the websites as well. But I don't know.
Well, you can include that as a freebie, because it's easy to set up a one-page website.
Exactly.
As part of
exactly. So, so that's all to come. I mean, it's good. What I've really liked is, it's a bit of a monologue, but what I've really liked is not doing the code has given me time to sit down and actually sketch out how I want it to work, and map the screens and all the rest of it. And so, what I'd normally do on a project like this is I would do that. I'd sketch out all the screens, sketch out a data model, but it would change, obviously, because as you start sketching it out, you realise that that's not going to work. I'll do it that way, and then I might draw it out a couple of times, and then I think, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing now, and then start coding, and know where I need it to change, and then go in and change it. But pretty much all the time, you always find, oh, actually, I didn't think that through properly. I need to go back a bit and redo it, and all the rest of it. Whereas now, because I've got someone else doing the work, I'm spending a lot more time on those sketches and sketching it out, and then realizing it's not going to work, and then doing it again, and then doing it again until I get it, until I'm confident it's going to work.
Yeah.
And so what I've been doing is kind of doing that sketching out on a big sort of flip chart, and then taking a photo of it on my phone, sticking it in a Google Doc, and then explaining it in text, and then also writing out what I think the data model should be, not enforcing that, but saying, look, this is what I think it should be like, and then that document I send to the developer, and he's then coming back with questions, we're discussing it. If he's got suggestions, or you know, because Laravel works a certain way, then this would be better to do that way, whatever. And we have that conversation. It's working really well. I'm really pleased with it, because it does get me to the point of being fairly confident that the UI is going to work, for example, without having to rework things. So yeah, I think that's been a really good help to me.
So that's been your answer for the podcast in terms of what you've been up to for the last 4 weeks. But you said to me, like when we met up just earlier, that you've been procrastinating for the last 4 weeks.
You don't
feel like you've got anything done. But it sounds like you made great progress.
Yeah,
though.
I have, but not as much as... I
so there's the professional answer, and now we get, well, yeah, you've really been up to now, Jake.
No, you're right. I mean, I mean, 1 week of the 4 weeks, I guess, just going back in my own mind, 1 week of the 4 weeks was finishing off these projects, the freelance projects, so I didn't really get anything done then. Then it was half term, and so it's really been 2 weeks of this, which is, it does sound like quite a lot done, but I do feel like I've wasted an awful lot of time as well. Just sitting down to try and do something and then disappearing and procrastinating for the next 2 hours. I think because I've not got clients breathing down my neck, wanting stuff by certain dates, I do just wander off sometimes.
Yeah, but well, I guess, you know, if you do build a successful product and it takes off and stuff, this is what life will be like in terms
of
you know, managing your own time. And I guess because you're used to, I don't know, have a specific task set by the client or as part of a longer project plan, you get to tick that off, don't you? But you're kind of the master of your own time. And you've been doing those sketches and so on and so forth, but you haven't been writing code, which is usually what you perhaps judge your whether you've been productive or not.
I think what I've been procrastinating over is because my idea of not writing the code, the main thing about it was so that I'd have more time to do the marketing. Now, I've got to define what I want the product to do so the developer's got something to work from. But other than that, I wanted to be able to just concentrate on marketing to try and get people signed up to a, you know, beta list or whatever. And I think that's where I've been procrastinating, because I've been going backwards and forwards between, oh, I could write articles about this online and I could do this and that, and then thinking, but actually, there aren't that many people online, so is that the right place to spend time? should I be doing something else like this over here? And so I've been going flip-flopping between these different
things. But you need to have, even if your marketing and sales is going to be more of a face-to-face contact thing, you're still going to need some kind of brochureware type website, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, what I've started to do is put up one of those crowdfunding websites, you know, where people can sign up for a certain amount. And then I'm now, that's another big source of procrastination, is whether that's worth it or not.
I think if you had some kind of email list of 1,000 people or so interested in that this area, brilliant. It would be good. Yeah,
yeah. But there's a thing about that. When you put up a crowdfunding site, first off, it says 0% of target. And you think, if somebody comes along to that, are they going to sign up and give you some money when it's 0% of the target? I'm not sure I would.
I'm sure there's a way to game it.
Yeah.
Getting your wife to put some money in or something like that.
Well, I was thinking I could get the interested parties at the moment.
Yeah, and them to do it as well.
But I don't know. I think it's kind of a chicken and egg thing at the moment. What I want to be able to do is to put up a site with screenshots of how it might work. But until I get something that shows that, then I'm not comfortable putting the website either.
I would... you know, in terms of getting that website done, what I would suggest doing is, because, you know, these people that run these after school clubs and so on, they use a certain language and cool things, certain things, don't you?
Yeah.
Of the two people that you've spoken to or something, if you can go back and interview them again and record their conversation and their answers and pick out the terms and terminology that they use for certain things and certain bits and pieces, and then use those keywords to place the marketing around. I don't know whether you can remember from the conversation.
Well, I've got loads of notes, so I've got a lot of that already. Yeah, you're right. I should probably do something like that. But I think, so what I could have done is, way back, I think we talked about this, my $156 startup thing. Sorry, I can't remember the guy's name again now, but... where he did it was a sports club software, which he did the crowdfunding thing from, which I completely nicked. And that, I've lost track of what I was going to say now. and that's that kind of what I nicked. Oh yeah, what I was going to say was he basically got somebody to, he drew out the sketch out the screen and got somebody to design it.
Yep.
And I've kind of thought, well, I'm getting somebody to build the screens anyway, so I might as well just use that once it's done. So that's another source of procrastination, is whether I should just go and get someone to design it.
But those screenshots, in theory, well, if you're saying an MVP is going to be ready, you'll have some screenshots in a week and a half, won't you?
Yeah, exactly. What I was hoping to do is like a video of this is how it's going to work, so people could then actually see something. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of like itching to go, but not really. And backwards and forwards, flip-flopping between just get a website out there and actually, if I wait a couple of weeks, I'll have something to actually show on that website.
Well, get working on the copy. To go with the screenshots and so on.
Anyway, sorry, a bit of a monologue.
No, it's good.
So what have you been up to then?
So I had the week's holiday in Centre Parks, which is good. Obviously, usual issues of Isabel having teething problems for the first couple of days. And then she had 3 good days and it was really good fun. And then, I don't know, we went swimming the last day. And then on the journey home, she just puked in the car.
Oh, no.
Like, so the first night back, she was like... projectile vomiting everywhere. So. Oh. But part of having kids, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was nice. We had nice weather while we were there and with some friends that we go with regularly, so that was all good.
Good.
And so I had a week of not shaving while I was there.
Oh, right, yeah, I noticed you're a bit bearded.
And so this obviously isn't a very good visual thing, but I've got kind of 3 weeks' worth of growth, I think.
Blimey.
A beard, I think, on my face. And so after getting back, I said to Andy, you know, I'm not going to shave again until there's some kind of Google Panda update. And he's like, that's a great idea. I said it like half joking. And so after saying this, I was like, oh shit, I'm going to have to stick to it now. And so thankfully though, 2 days later, some Google person was speaking at a conference and came out with that there's going to be a Google Panda update within the next 2 to 3 weeks. I was like, yes. Well, the next couple of weeks, they said it as, or a few weeks. So hopefully this won't have to last until the end of June. I should take a photo and put it up, I guess.
Haven't they been saying that for months, though, that there's going to be a panda release anytime?
Well, no, they haven't really said anything. It's been us, like, everyone in the kind of SEO spectrum speculating that the last one was May last year, or the last big one is October and May and October, but so they've been expecting one in May.
Okay.
And so we'll see. Hopefully it'll come soon and I can perhaps shave this off. But as I was saying to you earlier on, you know, people have been saying that it looks good and suits me and so on, but I'm not sure if that's a backhanded compliment to make me keep it so I look kind of silly still. But So yeah, perhaps we'll put a photo up on the show notes of
that would be good.
My
yeah.
beard, and I, like you said earlier, I do a weekly update of how it's growing.
Yeah,
I could end up like Forrest Gump. I did feel I need to start running again the other day, and I would look like Forrest Gump running through Reading. Hey ho!
Have you been doing your run streak? Is that
no, no? I stopped.
Has that gone?
Did I stop that on the last podcast?
No,
I
you're still
remember.
Going on the last. Podcast.
Oh yeah, I stopped.
Oh no.
Yeah, I've been going to the physio for hip flexors and so on. So decided to try and get that sorted. I've felt good actually since stopping it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was only doing a mile a day because I knew I had kind of lower back issues and so on, so kind of just doing the mile a day, it was like just doing it to tick the box, which yeah. I guess is the whole point of it, isn't
yeah.
it? But it wasn't really, you know, improving my fitness or anything like that by just doing a mile a day, but hopefully I'll get back to running again soon.
Cool.
But in terms of work, I got to a full month of working on Gareth Johnston, the Golf Pros website.
Oh, right.
And that was really good. Just from kind of the 6 weeks of working on it, we managed, in the first full month of doing it, we tripled or almost tripled the website traffic wow. going to his site. So that's good. He was delighted with that. It was starting from a kind of low point anyway because it wasn't getting too much traffic. So just sending out regular newsletters and, you know, putting more effort into Facebook and Twitter pages has helped grow the traffic. And he says he's noticed, you know, a lot of buzz and stuff from the people he's been teaching about the pages and sites, and
excellent.
It's kind of given him some enthusiasm as well to you know, put effort into new ways of marketing and take photos of the people he's teaching and so on. And it's helped with some of the they do kind of demo days for brands that make the golf clubs and so on, and it's helped drive people to that and help increase sales and so on. So, cool. So that's good.
Yeah, very good.
And so I wanted to wait until there's a couple of different theories that I've read about this. You know, as soon as you get a customer, you should ask if there's any referrals. But I wanted to wait until I had some positive results for Gareth before waiting for some or asking for referrals. So
yeah.
After I sent over the month, the end of May report, I said, you know, is there anyone else you could refer me to? Or, you know, needs help with their website and social marketing and stuff. And yesterday he referred someone who's a member of the golf club as well, an estate agent that needs some help with their website and stuff like that. So that's quite good.
Oh,
and Gareth said he's got a few other people in mind as well too, so... so yeah, that's the first referral from that. But in terms of what I've been spending my time on, I guess, so VoucherCodes Pro kind of runs itself on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't need too much effort and input, and we're still waiting for this Google Panda update, hopefully. and so I had lunch with a friend last week, and you know him as well, but I haven't checked whether I could talk about what we spoke about with him.
Okay.
So I'll just call him a friend for now. And he's been working on his product for the last year or perhaps 2 years, I guess. And he's been making progress and he's got some revenue coming in to support it and support him and so forth. But perhaps not enough to live off quite yet. So he's still living off savings and so forth. But just talking to him, he's so excited about it and so happy doing it and building it. And because the areas that he's working in are machine learning and natural language processing and all that kind of stuff, he's kind of working on it and excited about it and kind of gave me some enthusiasm in terms of projects I should be thinking of working on.
Yeah.
And it comes back to, again, the stuff we spoke about before in terms of, you know, when we started the podcast, we were so focused on getting the first customer and getting monthly revenue and being able to replace certain income and so on and so forth, that perhaps it's taken the, you know, some of the fun away from the things we should think about working on or have previously enjoyed working on. And when I go back to my SharePoint days and the things I enjoyed working on then, I was always working on the latest version of SharePoint, so kind of bleeding edge technology, learning new stuff when the documentation wasn't perhaps there, and so trying to figure out stuff by digging through XML files and you know, looking at DLLs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I kind of thought, you know, perhaps I should get back to that and not focus on, you know, the monetary side of things, because I've gone through the process so many times of, you know, doing some of the 30 by 500 stuff and coming up with an idea and then sitting there going, do I really want to work on that? And I've done the things of, you know, buying the local papers, looking at the people who are marketing on and taking adverts out and building up a list of their websites and coming up with issues from them, from they're not responsive, that they've got terrible speed ratings in Google. So building up a list of these websites that I could go and pitch to and say, look, you're spending money on marketing, I can go and improve your website and so on. But do I really want to go down that route? And so I've been coming up with a list of projects that, you know, I'd be more interested in working on from a, I don't know, even from an academic point of view of learning as much as anything else. Or a list, not websites, but a list of problems. So some of the stuff I've been working on, I haven't spoke about before on a podcast, is the trading, so buying and selling shares and things like that. And we spoke about it before, I think, off the podcast, in terms of there's two different approaches that we both thought about taking, in terms of we both read Anthony Robbins' book, didn't we? It's just called Money. And he goes into there saying, you know, investing in individual shares and stuff like that, the game is just tilted against you for the financial institutions. And so the best thing to do is just buy the index tracker funds and put your money into that. And so I think through the summer of last year, I started doing that. But because I've got time on my hands, I was a bit bored by doing it, really. So I was like, well, you know, I have got time to invest in, do the investigation work that I think that would give you a bit of an edge on other people that are just, you know, putting a pin in the newspaper or something to pick stocks and shares. And so I'd read this book called The Naked Trader perhaps 2 or 3 years ago. And so I bought it again and bought the latest edition and read through it again. And he's basically a chap who, you know, had a little bit of money and decided to try and go do full-time trading. And oddly enough, actually, like about 10 years ago, he was a journalist, I think, as well.
Right.
He wrote in the money section of the Sunday Times about his self-invested pension. And so it all came together. I went to one of his seminars. I didn't realize it was the same guy that I was reading 10 years ago and then bought his book and so on. But he basically does fundamental analysis of companies. So looking at their market cap, profits, debt, cash projections, so on and so forth. And so I've been doing that since October. I've been doing reasonably well at it, actually. But it's difficult because I went to a seminar back in January, I think, and it goes through it all in the book as well, the Naked Trader book, which I highly recommend to anyone who's interested in this kind of stuff, where you've got to look for all the numbers, such as the market cap, profit, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
If you go to one single website, they're often wrong numbers. They don't keep them up to date.
Right.
Okay. And so you need to start digging through the financial reports that are, in theory, regulated, so they have to be, you know, they stand by those numbers.
Yeah.
But you have to look in 2 or 3 different websites to get these numbers and kind of then bring it all together to make your judgment as from the fundamentals.
Yeah.
And so I started using a spreadsheet to do that. But I was thinking, you know, I can build a little web app just to make it a bit easier because the spreadsheet was getting a bit unwieldy. And so the last couple of weeks I've been building that web app just for my own personal usage of doing this fundamental analysis and so on. And so that's been really good, actually.
Yeah, cool.
And I picked out a couple of trades from that and put them on and so forth. But then that gets you into the whole algorithmic trading thing, which I'm kind of interested in. But, you know, from reading a lot of it and reading, there's a Reddit board just for people that are doing this.
Mm.
And there are people that are making a living doing it. And it's not the high frequency trading, which is a different thing altogether.
Yeah.
But, you know, perhaps it's something that interests me. And that goes with the whole machine learning and neural networks and all that kind
of
stuff.
Would you want to do it for yourself? Build stuff for yourself, or actually turn them into products that you sell to people?
I think I'd rather do it just for myself.
Yeah.
The web app that I built at the moment, that you just plug in the numbers, the fundamental analysis thing, that could become some kind of community social type thing.
Right.
Where, you know, there's a group of you that do it. And because there's so many stocks and shares and companies out there, you know, if you've got a crowd or a group of you doing it, and one person plugs in some numbers and then another person verifies them independently, you can kind of say, well, they stack up and you can use that data.
Right.
But as soon as you get a big enough group of people using the same numbers and making the same decisions, then you lose that advantage in the market, I guess, don't you? So, so we'll see. There's some various things. I've made a kind of list of things that I'd like to look at around, you know, machine learning and bits and pieces and natural language processing. And so one of them is predicting golf results.
Okay.
So you can obviously bet on golf results from the professional tours and so on.
Yeah.
And there must be people that do this already, but you know, golfers generally, they come into form and they play well for a few weeks and they lose their form if they win or whatever. And so you can kind of predict that, and golfers always play well on certain courses.
Yeah.
They always play well in certain conditions, whether it's windy or rainy or so on. And so you plug all those variables in, and in theory you could come up with some predictive models. So, you know, whether it's right or not, it's just part of the fun is building it, isn't it? And seeing if you can come up with it right.
Yeah. And testing yourself against predictions.
And exactly. And then, you know, if they work out right, then you can perhaps put some bets on, and there is a financial... You can either sell the predictions, as you said with the share thing, or, you know, you can use the predictions yourself.
Yeah.
And then there's obviously football results.
Well, horse racing, I mean, that sort of thing has been done in horse racing for years, hasn't it?
Yeah. I think whether horse racing is rigged or not, I've always been suspicious of that. But So I've got a list of interesting projects to work on. I'm kind of going to focus on that for the time being.
Yeah. Well, that's fair enough, I think.
We're going to wait. Well, I'm personally going to wait to see whether Google, what happens with the Google Panda update. If it doesn't have a real positive effect on the Voucher Codes Pro, we've probably got to look at starting again almost, and, you know, having another domain and starting again. And, you know, if someone came to me now and said, we've been hit by a Google Panda update, I'd probably go, depending on the site and everything, yeah, I'd say you probably want to start again with a different site.
Wow.
Especially for our area, you know, the affiliate marketing and voucher codes.
So you think you've had such a negative hit that it's just easy to start
again? It would have been, yeah, you know, knowing what we know now, May, if we'd have started a new domain, new site and so on, we'd probably be in a better position than what we are now.
Wow, that's incredible.
Which is crazy. You know, we were lucky and are lucky that we've got some decent amount of savings in the bank.
Mm.
And I said to someone else, you know, most other companies don't have that, I don't think. They perhaps run on a month-to-month basis or perhaps have 2 or 3 months' worth of savings. You know, it shares the power that Google has. And
yeah, absolutely. It can cripple people.
You know, we realised the mistake we made because we're quite well, you know, we keep in touch with SEO and, you know, a lot of the people I'm working with. So having said I don't want to work on the websites and stuff, you know, I'm working with Gareth, the golf pro. I've been referred this other one. I'm going to work on these guys because I think they're interesting projects and so on. But for these two examples, they've got Google Analytics running on their websites and I ask them for their logins. They're like, oh, don't know.
Yeah.
You mean you don't check your analytics? Yeah. No. But you've paid to have this website built for you and all this kind of stuff. Yeah,
well, this is the thing, I think, you know, I see it all the time with people in the FSB events and things that you talk to and they've got no clue. And I think there's just such a, there's a massive area there. I don't know whether people would pay for it. That's the main thing. A lot of small businesses aren't that bothered about it. They want more business, but then when you ask them to pay to get it, they're like, oh, I don't know about that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. But there's certainly a need. It's just whether you can make money out of it, I think.
Yep. So that was my monologue, I think, of the updates and stuff I've been working on. But that's, I guess, my request, if there's anybody else who's interested in trading, and I'm more interested at the moment in building, you know, systems that help you with trading rather than algorithmic automated trading systems. But I guess if anyone's interested in that kind of area, certainly drop me an email or get me on Twitter.
I mean, if you once you've got them working and your predictions are working, then I'll I'll take a copy of that software.
Well, no, but the fun is in building them and trying to figure out.
It is interesting what you say. I think we have talked about it before, but you know, there's the two sides to it, aren't there? There's one side which is you want a product to make you money so you can free up some time. And then you want the thing that you're interested in, that you're passionate about. And I think if you can find a product that does both, that will make you some money and you're passionate about, then it's fantastic. But, you know, practically, this thing I'm working on now, it's really going to be... I'm interested in getting it built and seeing it out there. But there's no real interest in the technology or anything. It's just a functional app.
I think, the interesting thing, there's got to be an interesting aspect to the project, hasn't there? So the interesting thing for you will be the marketing side of it, which is what you say you're going to focus on. So building the app itself, you know, you probably have done the right thing. It's to you, it's going to be boring because you've built web apps lots of times. So outsourcing that bit probably makes sense. And the marketing bit is a new bit for you.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the marketing stuff I've done before with the SharePoint products company and the SEO stuff. So doing another product and spending my time on SEO, more SEO and more building marketing type websites isn't very interesting. So,
it's interesting. Yeah. I think you're right. I think I'm looking forward and touching wood and hoping that I'm going to do some marketing and then see results from that. And that's going to keep me going, you know, and I'll be able to focus on that and hopefully get somewhere, but we'll see. I'm so impatient. That's my biggest problem. Everything takes too long.
Yep.
But there you go. Anyway, cool. Have you got anything else? Any stuff or anything for this?
The only stuff I've got to recommend really is that Naked Trader book that I mentioned before.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Yeah. I've been trying to avoid things. We talked briefly before the podcast about this, about when the last podcast was the interview with Adam, and he was saying he doesn't really have time to listen to podcasts and read too much until he needs something.
Yeah.
And I think we both agree that kind of struck home as perhaps that's where I'm going wrong, because I spend a lot of time reading blog posts and listening to podcasts. So I've been trying to knock that on the head a bit and not do so much of that. Because, you know, I was reading stuff about, you know, how to communicate with your customers and so on. And it was interesting and I was enjoying reading it. And I was thinking, I haven't got any bloody customers. Why am I reading this now? You know, stick it in Evernote or something and come back to it when I need it. But so yeah, I've been trying to avoid doing that. I still listen to podcasts when I'm running, but that's it.
I've been listening to them a bit while I've been working, just as much for background noise.
Yeah.
Because, you know, working down here is a bit isolated and so on, and you kind of need to feel like you've got other people around you. So I know I'm almost zoned out of the, it's almost, it is just the background noise of people talking in the background, and every now and again you might hear something that piques your interest and so on. But especially because I've got such a list of podcasts, there's so many of them to try and work through. If I did try to sit down and actually listen to them, I'd never, like you said, I'd never get anything done.
Hey
ho.
Anyway, cool. Excellent. All right. Well, it's going to be 2 weeks again until the next one, I guess.
Yep.
Keep going with that for now. See how we go. Cool. All right then.
Fantastic.
I'll speak to you soon.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.